we welcome you now to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis.
Even a dog that is usually gentle and would not kill another animal will change his behavior if he starts running with a pack of dogs. The natural desire to seek the approval of others can be a good thing, but it can also be a bad thing because it can cause people to make bad decisions whenever they start seeking the approval of those living sinful lives. It can destroy and lead you down the road that will cause you to harm others or can even land you in jail or in the grave.
The difference between the scornful and the godly has to do with roots. And what it warns us is that scorn dries up the roots of life. This is true in salvation and relationship with God. If you're a scorner, I warn you, you're going to dry up the life, the spiritual life of your relationship with God. Through the years, it fascinates me when people announce that they have to find another church because they're not being fed. Really? Weren't you the one who numbers of times years ago used to say how much you were being fed? What happened? Scorn dried up the roots. You killed the roots. No wonder you're getting nothing out of the sermons. But this is true in human relationships like marriage. Scorn kills love in marriage. There's a professor at the University of Washington, John Gottman. He videotapes married couples as they talk. He says in 15 minutes of watching a couple talk to each other, he can predict with 90% accuracy whether that couple will still be married in 15 years. He says the greatest indicator in conversation, in how they speak to each other, the strongest negative indicator is contempt. He says, anytime I see a couple, when how they're looking at each other, if they're giving snide, despising looks, or they make snide, despising comments, he says, that couple, I promise you, will not stay married. Because it is impossible to be in love with someone if you have scorn in your heart.
Most people tend to think that healing your relationship with your parents is about letting them off the hook, and it's not. It's about stopping the silent war that you've been fighting in your own body for years, the one that's cost you your peace, the one that your kids are watching, whether you realize it or not. Because when you finally decide to face it, here's what happens. You stop living in defense mode. You finally breathe without waiting for the next hit, and you start creating a new relationship instead of replaying the old toxic ones. And true mental strength and healing is when you stand firm even when others around you are unhealed without letting it impact you. Your children see it. They see strength that doesn't come from anger or distance, but from courage and steadiness. And it gives them a model that they're going to carry into every relationship they'll ever have. And sometimes, not always, but often your choice becomes the only opening your parents have ever been given to meet you halfway. And this isn't about forgiveness. It's about freedom, yours, theirs, and the generations coming after you, because if you don't break it, you pass it down.
There's like a trend of millennials cutting off their parents because baby boomer parents don't really involve themselves in their children's life to a period of inconvenience. Like the average person's childhood, they were at their grandparents a lot. They were being watched a lot. Yeah. They were being toted around by the grandparents a lot. And so the millennials are having children and they're assuming, okay, my parents are going to have the same relationship I had with my grandparents. And then they call their parents for anything, the baby boomer parents, and everything's an inconvenience. I got stuff going on. I'm still living my life. I'm doing whatever I want, when I want, how I want.
But what does the research say about what actually happens afterward? Research shows that after cutoff, many people feel both relief and grief. They protect themselves, but they also carry anger, shame, and emotional pain. In one large study, adult children with estranged parents had similar mental health outcomes, like anxiety and depression, as those who stayed in ongoing toxic contact, which might say that cutoff alone doesn't improve your well-being. But here's the catch. Estranged children reported worse physical health than those in healthy relationships, because it's not the act of cutting off that causes the most harm. It's the relationship quality and the unresolved emotional patterns behind it. Cutoff might seem to stop the chaos, but it may also stall emotional maturity, robbing us of growth, clarity, and self-definition.
What you want to do is, for your child, is that you want the best for the best in them. That's what you want. And that's what you want from people that you surround yourself with. Now, they'll hold you to a high standard if that's the case, right? Because whenever you degenerate in any of the multiple ways that you're likely to degenerate, they're going to like whack you on the back of the head and say, you know, you're demeaning yourself, you're less than you could be. And there's real judgment in that, and it's harsh. Mm-hmm. You know, but with friends, it's the same thing. You want friends, they're not friends if they're not these people. You want friends who, when something good happens to you, that's good for you, right? They're happy about that. They're not like all bitter and resentful underground and like saying horrible things behind your back and telling you how they did something that was better and trying to drag you down. Yeah. It's like, that's not helpful. And then when something bad happens to you and you go to them and you say, look, this terrible thing happened to me. First of all, they don't try to top it with some like horrible thing that happened to them because they don't have the patience to listen. And second, they're not secretly gloating about the fact that catastrophe finally befell you. Mm-hmm. It's like they're actually hurt by it. And that chapter is an injunction. It's like, take a look at the people that are around you. And if they're not on the side of what's good for you, then walk away.
Well, amen. Blessed is the man that walketh not what? In the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth where? Nor sitteth where? So blessed is the man. This is a blessed man. This is a blessed man. And this has everything to do with a blessed tree. The first thing we must do in order to become stable believers is to avoid ungodly alliances. If you're friends with somebody that is ungodly and they stay ungodly, guess who else is ungodly? You. Yeah, I know, you know, this new, not new world order, but just this new way of being a Christian. We open ourselves up to other people's beliefs. He's really or she's really a good person. We just don't share the same beliefs. Well, if we don't share the same beliefs, then we aren't the same. Amen. You know, praise and worship, you know, we're moving around, it's warm, but if we just be still, you feel that cool breeze coming, it's coming. God is favoring you right now. Coolness. Just think cool. York peppermint patty. Y'all remember that commercial? Oh, I shouldn't have said that on the sugar fast. Somebody just had a relapse. I don't even eat those, but it sound good. But you got to realize that whoever you surround yourself with, you'll become like them. Over time, you'll begin to excuse them from things that should bother you. And the more you excuse them, guess who else you're going to excuse? Yourself. Yeah. This is why it's very important for us to not be yoked together with unbelievers. And when I say unbelievers, I'm not just talking about people that like good. I'm talking about people that believe what we believe. Amen? Amen. Now, disclaimer, because some folks crazy. I'm not talking about your parents. Yeah, come on, let me get that intense clap I just got a minute ago. Look at somebody and say, not your folks. I'm not talking about your parents. I'm not talking about your parents. If they are ungodly, that you have ungodly parents and they still your parents. You pray for them, you go around them, you take your kids around them, you be around them. Look at somebody. I'm just trying to protect the interest of my, okay, interest. You need your folks. Amen. Let me go over here because this section, somebody over there is bitter. Marshall, they bitter. No, you need your folks. You need your parents. You need your parents. You never stop praying and you never stop hoping. You never give up on them if they are alive and breathing. But you just don't know what they've done. Well, you know what? I know what I've done. And I know I need the forgiveness and the grace and mercy of Jesus Christ for what I've done. So I'm sure they need the same grace and mercy. So this cutting off parents and distancing myself and being safe. No, don't you believe in Instagram. And you know, one video, if you watch one video about leaving your parents, that algorithm is going to hunt you out every chance it gets. It's going to keep putting stuff on it. It's going to keep going. And every time you pull it up, when you was about to change your mind, that algorithm going to change it back. That's what it's designed for. You know, I told y'all when they created the whole reel idea, it came from Vegas slot machines. It's a slot machine idea. Now, how many people do good on the slot machines? Every now and then, you get $100. Just enough to make you come back and try it again. And most people, whatever they won, they're going to take a portion of that and lose it. So just imagine if that's your life, what these reels are doing. People that practice ungodliness will soften our stance and cause us to fall. Godly counsel nourishes us and makes us what?
Steadfast.
You got to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the word. Amen. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications does what? Don't be fooled. Don't be fooled. If you watch cussing movies all the time, when somebody stomp your toe, you're going to let Friday out. Because it's in there. You recorded it. Yeah, what you put in, it's going to come out. Amen. Standing in the sinner's way causes us to experience issues that could have been avoided. So when you're standing in the sinner's way, standing with a sinner, sinner's your friend, now you're suffering their issues. Your brain doesn't know the difference between their issues and yours. Yeah. Oh, I study this stuff. Doesn't know the difference. When you watch Stank Women of Atlanta, I don't know the name of the show. Hip Hop Love, Love Boat, Love Island, Love Stank, Stank Love. Whatever the show is, because all of them are just stank. They need to have a resident gynecologist on the set. And she better have enough ointment. Because that's a stank show. They teaching you how to be stank. I don't care, I say it. Ain't that what it is? They ought to rate it S. Stink, and you up looking at that. Ooh, look what they gonna do to Shabuka. Today she gonna... You know Shabuka with the high body count. That's what they call it now. Body count. You became one with everybody you slept with. Everything in them is in you. The Bible said... Or do we believe the Bible? Said the two become one flesh. All that stink is in you. Huh. And if you watch it, You don't have to jump in the bed with Shabuka. Just watch how she's acting. Your brain don't know the difference. Her drama becomes your drama. And it tries to live its way out of you once you record it inside of you. Why you think they're showing it? That shouldn't sell. That should get canceled. Stank should get canceled. It ain't getting canceled. People are watching it and becoming it. Your life gets full of drama. You look up and everybody around you is talking about somebody else. Gossip, drama, stank. Drama. This dude like me, he like me, she don't like me, she like me. I want that one. Why can't I have this? That becomes your life. Because it's in your body working its way out. Because you keep watching it and recording it. Now you want to fight and stab and stab. Shank. It's all these things. You just have become ratchet, because you've recorded ratchetness and it's working its way out. Yeah. Now you're loud talking and neck rolling and messy. In church, we know you as the messy one. Drama just follows you. You record it and it works its way out of you. You ought to just stop one day and look at what you're watching and say, you know what? Why do I like this? Ask yourself, why do I like this and this is stink? But we're just sitting up watching it and watching. That's why I can't watch hood fights. You know, I hood fights were so good to me, Landon. I have to ask the Lord, why do I like them? And the Lord said, because you feel like doing this to people. People do you so wrong, and people do me wrong. People will forget every prayer. They'll forget every prayer. They'll forget that their kids are better. They'll forget that their family is better. They'll forget how they have come up in the Lord because of this ministry and the consistent word that has been preached. They'll forget it in a heartbeat for how they feel and stab you in the back and leave the knife in. Then go to get other folks with them. So hood fights, you know, I can't do it for real, so can I just live vicariously through somebody else's wig that's on the ground? I mean, I can't snatch theirs off, Chris. Can I just love the fact that somebody else's is snatched? No, I can't, because the more I watch it, the more I want to do it. Then somebody pushed me hard enough, I might do it. So I got to guard my mind from that. Guard my heart. I don't want that in my heart, because I don't want that to be a reflex. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Folks stab me in the back, Julian, I want to still be able to pray for them. And so that's okay. They only did that because, you know, I be making excuses. You've heard me do it. I be making excuses for them. Don't I, Jay? Yeah. So Jay don't go get them. That's what I be doing. I be trying to make an excuse. Yeah. But people gonna be people, but I can't be reacting that way. So we gotta be careful. When we're standing in the sinner's way, we begin to experience issues that could have been avoided. Things that you do now, you do because of who you were yoked up with. The way of the sinner is what? Hard. It is hard to be a sinner. Don't you let the internet fool you. There is no such thing as a happy OF girl. Amen. OnlyFans women are, yeah, that's OF. That's OnlyFans, Carmina. You old, so you old. But not just OnlyFans, just women just showing themselves and too much of themselves. They don't realize the damage they are doing to themselves permanently. You can't erase it. You can't get rid of it. You can come to the Lord and it's going to mess with your mind, because you release something about yourself that shouldn't have been put online. Yeah. And so now you taking drugs, you drinking, you doing all kinds of stuff to try to suppress your emotions. Because what you did was meant for your husband. Amen. That's okay. Yeah. So the way of the sinner is hard. It's a hard life. It's a hard knock life. Always looking over your shoulder, looking around. Ooh, the cops coming. Oh, boy. I mean, you just living that life. That's a hard sinner, too, if looking for the cops. But the way of the sin is hard, so we should always choose the path of rightness. Standing in the way of righteousness keeps our yoke easy and our burdens light. Amen? When people tell me that they got anxiety and depression and all these heavy weights, that makes me wonder, okay, that God said his yoke is easy. His burden is light, so that means that you are doing something probably the wrong way. You can't keep going to God in prayer for what you want and being at odds with your family. You're putting something on yourself that's too heavy. Can't keep going to God about what you want and you're not able to pray for other people because you're mad at them. You're angry at them. No, these things have to be fixed to keep our yoke easy and burden. Standing in the way of righteousness keeps our yoke easy. Evil pursueth sinners, but to the righteous good shall be what? Repaid. Yeah, those are scornful folks. That's what they look like. Even when they made up and looking pretty in the spirit, that's what they look like. And they always get together. It amazes me. Me and my wife, we're just amazed at how they find each other in a church this big. But they do. They find each other. It's crazy. It's crazy. And it don't take long. I'll be walking out. You know, I do my walk, and then I see them talking. I said, see? And I knew they was going to find each other. The ones that don't like me, they going to find each other. Just at church, wasting your time. You could be fishing, bowling. You could be sharpshooting. Shopping. I see you, Tara. Shopping. You could be at the mall. What time the mall open? 12. You could be the first one in there. And you in here causing ruckus. But that person does that in their family. So, because this is a church family, their brain doesn't know the difference. Looking like that. Ooh, them things ugly. Let me move on. People that have been severely hurt without properly dealing with it will become what? Scornful. The scorner believes that their feelings supersede the gospel and obedience to God's word. It's not about what God is saying. It's about how I'm feeling. You know how I know that's how they feel? Because I'm preaching. And they can't hear it because of how they're feeling. And I know I'm preaching. The scorner believes that their feelings supersede the gospel. The seat of the scornful is essentially a place where your feelings are greater than God's desires which will cause you to place your will above God's plan. That's the seat of the scornful. So now you've been so scornful for so long, your feelings are greater than God's desires. Is it God's desire for us to be in this church? Yes, you believe that because you're here. It's God's desire that I be the pastor. Yeah, you believe that because you're here until you're scorned. Now you're scorned, so now the church got to go. He ain't supposed to be pastoring. It just all need to be blowed up. Because you're scorned. Proverbs 15 and 12. A scorner loveth not one that does what? Tells him the truth. Corrects him. Scorner hates a corrector. Neither will he go unto the wise. This is a good message. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he do what? Meditate day and night. God's law, which is God's desires, that's what his law is. This is how God feels. You want to know God's feelings? It's his law. Amen? It's his law. And some scholars say it's his law is his logic. Logos. God's logic is undeniable. It's impeccable. It's smarter than 2 + 2 = 4. This plus this is going to equal this. That's God's logic. That's what his word is. His word is telling you. So God's desires, his law, his logos, his logic should be at the forefront of our existence. We should die to our will and accept God's way in order to stand strong. That's very hard to do when you're full of yourself. And everything now makes us full of ourselves. Y'all doing good on the sugar fast? Amen. It's effective. It's effective, boy. You start thinking clearly, this message sounds better than it would have if you was high off a honey bun. Chocolate covered honey bun. Y'all thought I was playing. I got texts and stuff from people that actually found some. Yeah, you were shocked that they would take a sweet glazed honey bun and dunk it again in delicious chocolate. Is chocolate delicious? Chocolate is delicious. God made it. God made chocolate. Amen. Ain't no man made that. That's God. That's all God. Yes. All right. Let's move on. Amen. Amen. Chocolate is delicious. Amen. We've established that. Okay. We should die to our will and accept his will. Galatians 5 and 24, and they that are Christ have done what? Crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. So you can't be led by affections and lust if you've been crucified. Sometimes you got to re-crucify. Because affections and lust is all that's being promoted on social media. Making you lust after something. Amen. Lusting after a car. Lusting after a house. Lusting after money. Lusting after somebody's body. That's what social media is feeding you with the reel. The slot machine. And so you have to crucify that. Meaning you got to know, okay. Now that's my limit. I got to do something. I'm going to add this to the fast. I'm going to get off these reels. These reels going to get me in trouble. When our delight is in material things and achievements, we must follow our own way to get them. So if that's what you're seeking after, then you got to follow your way. You cannot stamp or spray God on it after you went after it. If you're going to meditate on his word, that means his word has to come before. And you got to believe that what you're doing is what he wants you to do. Well, I mean, we get jobs and we go to school, and yes, and you need to ask God, what should you study? Why would you waste your money going to school and you don't even know why? You going because they told you, black, young black kids make up so many percentage of the school. That's no reason to go to school. You better figure out what you're doing. Amen. Are you wasting money? Yeah, work at Starbucks until you figure it out. Amen. There's nothing wrong with working at Starbucks. Oh, but the siren on the door. You better tell that siren, rebuke it and get that check. Siren is everywhere. You can't even drive a car if you're hiding from logos. But our striving does not ensure that we will find true joy or contentment once we receive our fleshly pursuits. And this is the end that most people don't realize. After you've chased after it and received it, what makes you think you're going to be fulfilled? There's no guarantee. But when we delight in the will of the Lord who made us, created us, knows what's best for us, knows what we should be doing, knows what fits us perfectly. Amen? If you're looking for a wife, don't you want one that God can foresee would work out for you? Then using your short-sightedness. Same with a husband. Don't you want to depend on God and not the dating app? The dating app is just a reel. You playing darts. Ooh, I'm preaching. But they may never come. I might not get nobody. God know where you are. Amen. He just ain't bringing nobody near you right now because you're crazy. Male and female, you're just crazy. You ain't ready. Well, I know God is fashioning a man just for me. No, he's not. Why would he do that? Why would he do that? Why would God make a man just for you when you supposed to be made for him? I will preach in here. I don't care if you don't like it. You're supposed to be what? You're the woman. You're created for him. God didn't make Adams just for Eve. Somebody ready to change their membership now? And I'm ready for them too. Sister Denise, go get the paper. Sister Denise, go get. People don't like this because the internet tells them different stuff. Especially when it comes to that, you know, because the Bible calls that silly women laden with lust, you know, ever learning but never coming to the knowledge of their truth. These are the sorts that creep into the houses of silly women. These silly women just constantly trying to watch videos that's going to make them feel better about their current state. Oh, God got somebody just for me. Yeah, what about the 100 before him? Was them just for you? And you slept with all of them. How you putting yourself on that list? But they watch the internet, ever learning, but never coming to the knowledge of the truth. But our striving does not ensure it. But when we delight in the will of the Lord, he gives us right desires, and it doesn't add sorrow to us. The Bible says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. What you want before the Lord, he changes that to his desire. Now you want what God wants because you've seen what happens when you get what you want. Has anybody seen what happens when they get what they want? What you thought you wanted? You be trying to put that back, don't you? I thought I wanted that. I thought I knew what was best. I need somebody that can see the future. Amen, because I'm crazy. Man, I see what I feel. I see what's relevant to that time. Or I base what I see on a bad experience I had. You know how many people aren't mad right now because of a bad experience they had? You're basing everything on that because your mind don't forget. Meditating on God's law day and night doesn't mean that we think about the word all day. Please have some sense at what I just said. Ooh, see, he's throwing the word out. He's throwing the word out because I think about it all day. No, you don't. No, you don't. And God isn't requiring that. My wife said, God don't want to hear from you all day. Like, get out of my face. Will you go witness and spread this around? Oh, you need friends. That's bad when God tell you, you need friends. You need a wife. You need a husband. You talking to me too much. You need a pet. Get a parakeet. You need something else. You need a hobby. Yeah. Yeah, get off your knees and go scrub the floor and talk to me. Talk to me while you're cooking. Your husband is hungry. Well, I don't have no husband. Practice. 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 Make the food, set it on the table, and just sit there. He might knock on the door. Okay, that's witchcraft. Don't do that. Don't do that. Look at somebody said, don't do that. That'll be witchcraft. That's witchcraft. Look, and I'm talking about these ancestors, somebody will come and sit. Don't do that. You come to church, I've made a friend. What? Let me go over here and say, don't do that. Because your people crazy. Y'all, don't do that. I was just playing. Do not cook for disembodied spirits. Please. That will not turn out well. That might be the only one that likes your cooking, but don't do it. Okay. Okay. All right. All right. The ghosts don't like your cooking. That's bad. That's bad. So, meditating on God's law day and night does not mean that we think about the word all day. It means that no matter what circumstances we face, they should always be what? Filtered through his word. That's meditating day and night. We filter our lives through his word. Everything must be tried and tested with God's will for us, so we will not fall. Proverbs tells us, in how many of your ways? All thy ways acknowledge him. And what is he going to do? He's going to direct your path. The tree part. If you do these things, if you're that blessed man, walketh not the counsel of the ungodly, nor sitteth at the seat of the scornful, nor standeth in the way of sinners. If you do that, then you can be like a what?
Tree.
But not just any tree. A tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he doeth, what's going to happen? It's going to prosper. That's a blessed man. Whatever he doeth. When we are planted, we will bring forth fruit in due season. Fruit produced out of season lacks the flavor and nutritional value of fruit that is in season. Y'all know that, right? Luke 6 and 43, for a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither does a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. What kind of tree? Look at somebody and say, what kind of tree are you? That's going to tell us what kind of fruit you're going to produce. And when I mean fruit, look at your life. Look at what's happening around you. Good things happen around you? Are you making good things happen? Is it good around you? Are you good? Or is your life filled with drama and junk? Then you need to start checking out what kind of tree you are. What is growing on me? Trees planted in fields are dependent upon the season for nourishment. But trees planted by the river have sustenance all the time, so that it will constantly yield good fruit. It's not dependent on the weather if it is rooted and planted by a river. It's constantly pulling nutrients. Constantly. When you plant it right, you always have food. You always have nourishment. Jeremiah 17 and 8 says, for he shall be as a tree planted by where? Waters. That spreadeth out her roots by the river and shall not see when heat cometh. So when the season changes, it don't even affect them. Her leaves shall be green no matter what and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall ceasing from yielding fruit. So if you're planted by the water, which the water represents the Spirit, if the Spirit of the Lord is in you, you can always produce because you're always being nourished. But it's something about the Holy Spirit that people don't like to talk about. They want to talk about the tongues, and they want to talk about the fire, and they want to talk about falling out and floating over chairs and all of that. But the Bible didn't say any of that was proof that you were filled with the Spirit. No. The evidence, he tells you, you will know them by their what?
Fruit.
What fruit? What fruit? See, we think bearing fruit is changing other people's mind and other people coming to us. Or we doing, No. Bearing fruit is bearing the fruits of the Spirit. Can you bear the fruits? What are the fruits? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and temperance. Now, when you get those, then come talk to me. Then I know you're filled with the Spirit. Because you have the fruit to prove it. Those are the fruit we bear. So it's when we talk about bearing fruit, we're talking about how we're behaving. If the Spirit is living in me, it should change my behavior. And I should be able to exhibit fruit. Oh boy. No, somebody wants people to see it. You want people to see you turning somersaults in the church. Diving in the pews. You want that? No, they can see it, but they need to see it through the way you treat people. Amen. Amen. The way you talk, the way you walk, the way you treat people, the way you treat your parents. Let me see the Holy Ghost there. I don't want to hear about your calling and your gift. What is your spirit saying? Are you really filled? Are you really a tree that can really, really bear fruit no matter what season it's in? So when you get down, when things get bad, what are you doing? Are you able to bear fruit then? What fruit? The way you act. Does your circumstance change how you act? When you get upset, do you go smoke a blunt? When you get disappointed, do you go for the Jack? Taking a little swig here and there? When you get down on yourself, do you turn on pornography? Can I preach in here? No, I'm trying to see what's real. Can you bear fruit in those times? The fruits of the Spirit, can you stay consistent? Now listen, we are working on this, but some of us need to be further along than we are, because we're looking for outer exterior works and we're not dealing with the interior work. What good is it to be saved if being saved isn't benefiting our insides? Is Christ in us? If he's in us, shouldn't things change in there? Good fruit comes from being planted in a good place and forsaking the fellowship of the ungodly and being in a place that is unfruitful. When we are well planted, delighting in God's way and avoid the counsel of sinners, we are like trees that cannot be moved. John 15 says, abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Summary. A tree can only yield good fruit if it is planted in a good place. In a good place where it can receive what it needs to sustain itself. It cannot bear any fruit if it cannot first sustain itself. Do y'all hear that? It must have enough sustenance for its own growth before it can ever branch out and bear fruit. The same principle is true for us as believers. In order for us to help others and advance the kingdom of God, we must first experience growth ourselves. Look at somebody and say, grow up.
Grow up.
That's not an insult. Grow up. What does a tree do? It grows. Grows up, then grows out. Some folks trying to grow out before they grow up. In order for us to help others and advance the kingdom of God, we must first experience growth ourselves. We must avoid fellowship with sinners and ungodly people and align ourselves with those that can aid our growth. We must plant ourselves in good ground near a consistent water supply, which will keep us growing despite what seasons we go through. Once we grow, we can sprout leaves and then do what? Bear fruit. This process cannot be avoided. We must do it God's way to get godly results. Amen? Amen. John 15 and 6. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered. Not only are you not a tree, you're an old jive branch. And men gather all the jive branches up and cast them in the fire and they're burned. Thought about that. When we turn our fireplace on, we put some old jive wood in there. It's not a tree no more. It's just jive. And the jive it is, the better it burns. For real. You know, the ones that are shaped nice and chopped up nice and all that, they don't burn good. You need the old raggedy one that might cut you when you try to throw it in there. That's gonna make a nice flame. Yeah, and that's what some people are. You just an old branch. Good for nothing but to be burned. He said, but if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and what's gonna happen? It's going to be done. There's not a person in here that has asked God something that is in his will, that was abiding in him, and he didn't do it. Every morning you ought to wake up and thank God that he did what he said he would do. Don't forget. Don't let the devil make you forget. Then it says, herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. Amen? Amen. Everyone stand to your feet. It's so easy for us to get hooked on stuff and make bad habits and see stuff online and just buy in and just all kinds of stuff. And these things rob us of our blessings. Bible just straight up told us in Psalms 1, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, sitteth at the seat of scornful. So these are three things that we just have to shake. We got to remove them. They got to be gone if we want to be a blessed tree. We don't want our roots dried up. That's what the next passage said. We're going to deal with that next week. But we don't want our roots dried up to where we can't absorb the sustenance. Sometimes a tree is there, but because the roots have dried, the water does it no good. We want our roots healthy, vibrant, so we can get what we need, so we can be like that tree. If you need prayer, come on up for that. There's some things you know. I know we're doing a fast, but man, there's some things that's just got to go. These things are in my way. You might be coming. I need some new friends. I need new friends. These are the folks I've been running with since high school, and all of them possessed. I need better friends. I need some friends. Amen. Or I need to fix my relationship with my parents. You know, I felt like I forgave them, but every time you preach about it, I feel away. Well, that means you haven't forgiven them. I need to let that go. Make sure I'm doing all right because my kids are watching me. Got some hurt, got some pain, got some bitterness. I've been through some stuff. Pastor, I've been through stuff. Well, come on up. Let's get that stuff out of you. Let's be a new creature. Let's make old things passed away, all things become new. That drum I watch on TV, I can relate to it. Well, come on up and let's get that out so you it will be like watching the Vietnamese channel. You don't know what they're saying. Unless you're Vietnamese. Is anybody in there Vietnamese? I think we got one. I'm talking about you. You know who you are. I'm not talking about you. But yeah, it's like watching a show where somebody's speaking a different language. That's what that needs to be. That's what the stank wives of LA, whatever their names are, that's what that needs to be to you. You turn that on and just get disgusted. Say, no, no, I can't do that drama because I don't want that drama in me. I don't want to act like that. I don't want constant drama all around me in my life. I don't want that. Man, I want peace. I want peace. Father God, I just thank you, Lord, and we thank you for speaking to us today right where we are. Right where we are. You know us in our hearts. You know us in our minds. You know us in our feelings. You know us. So God, we all pray. Every one of us in here, myself included, everyone. We pray right now that you would make us blessed trees. No matter what we've been through, no matter what bad choices we've made, no matter what bad decisions we've made, no matter where it's landed us, no matter what it's cost us, no matter what the consequences have been, no matter what it is, God, we want your blessing. Bless us, Lord. Bless us to be that tree. And we will do our best to not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. But we will be blessed trees with nourishing roots planted in the right place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. On your way to your seat, hug somebody, but I want you to tell them this. Tell them, never give up on yourself. Don't you give up on yourself. You're not finished. You're not finished. God is not finished. You are not a finished product. Don't give up on yourself. There's still work to be done. There's still possibilities. There's still hope. That's what these messages are for. Not for you to lose hope, but for you to gain hope.
You've been listening to A True Church Perspective with Pastor G. Craig Lewis, founder of EX Ministries and pastor of the Adamant Believers Council in North Richland Hills, Texas. If this message has been a blessing to you and you would like to be a financial blessing to us, please send your donation to EX Ministries, P.O. Box 24870, Fort Worth, Texas 76124, or donate online at exministries.com.